every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios, check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Get this, I've been knocking out bums for four decades. That's right, 40 years of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think Caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, was nationally ranked, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer, so I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? Even last night threw me for a hoop. I mean, here's a 46-year-old man, Manny Pacquiao, fighting a guy that's 30 years old, and Mario Barrios. Mario Barrios comes in at 6'1". Manny Pacquiao is a guy that's turned pro at 107 pounds. He's a little guy. He was like a midget against a giant last night, a giraffe against a small little tiny pony. I kid you not. Anyway, believe it or not, the big guy couldn't land, or he didn't land. He didn't want to land, didn't throw. Bottom line is, something was suspect. Bob Santos was the trainer in the corner, the chief trainer, the chief second in the corner of Mario Barrios, or Barrios coming out of Mexico via San Antonio. But I got to tell you, man, something stunk really bad last night. I mean, he just didn't try. I mean, he didn't throw three punches at a time. Never, ever, ever. I mean, sometimes he threw a jab, he threw a jab, threw a jab, and he was landing a jab early on. I'm talking about Barrios, who stood 6 foot tall. He was 6 foot tall. And Manny Pacquiao's doing this little beep, 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 jumping in and out on him and scoring. And after 12 rounds, it was sort of a hard fight to score because it sucked so bad. Okay, but you had to give it to Manny Pacquiao. Just by a slight margin, no doubt about that. I mean, I thought he deserved to win. At the end of the night, they called it a draw. Two judges had it, I think, even. One judge had it. Bottom line is, one judge had it from Mario Barros, I think, 115-113. At the end of the night, Manny Pacquiao probably got the short end of the stick. But then again, he's 46 years old. The boxing establishment wasn't rolling with him last night. If they were rolling with him, I mean, Barrios was. Barrios was hugging him after each round and hugging him before the rounds, this kind of stuff. It was like they had a domestic relationship before the fight. I kid you not. That's how bad this fight stunk last night. Mario Barrios and Manny Pacquiao. Straight up, we'll hear from Pacquiao and more today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA.
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
I am an American veteran.
I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
It was a play that you make a thousand times in a game or during a season. Hit a guy, and you always expect him to get up. And Stingley just didn't get up.
Did you ever apologize to Daryl Stingley?
No, I didn't. I apologize because Daryl got hurt, and I'm sorry he got hurt, but I will never apologize for the way I played football.
Little computer glitch there. Jack Tatum, number 32 of the Oakland Raiders, he hit Daryl Stingley so hard he paralyzed Stingley. Of course, he wasn't apologizing for that, but bottom line is, may he rest in peace. Jack Tatum died of diabetes a few years ago, but he and I used to watch the fights together over at Ricky's Sports Theater in San Leandro, California. Remember, we've been on Chavez and Whitaker, and of course, I bet on Chavez, he bet on Whitaker. After 10 rounds, I went over and gave him his money. I said, man, Whitaker won this fight, hands down. Then they called it a draw and went back and asked for my money back. And he said, you have the balls to ask for your money back? You know he got robbed. I said, yeah. But it's like football, man, the point spread. Bottom line is, Jack Tatum, I had a great relationship. May he rest in peace. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, the World Heavyweight Champion in action yesterday. I'm talking about Oleg Usyk. Wow, what can I say? Another spectacular performance now. 24 and zip, 15 KOs. Of course, Daniel Dubois, a bit dubious again, of course, losing for the second time to Oleg Usyk inside the distance. Daniel Dubois now, what can I say? He was the International Boxing Federation, or I like to call it the International Black Federation. People want to know why I call it the International Black Federation, because the fact that Bob Lee, the man that started the International Boxing Federation back in 1986 or something like that, about 86 anyway, he told me that black fighters weren't getting a fair break from the WBA, which was based in Venezuela, or the WBC, which was based in Mexico. So he started the IBF. So obviously the IBF is like favoring black guys. I mean, come on, he admitted it. Anyway. Change the subject. Bottom line is Daniel Dubois, not all that much. Of course, he failed in five rounds to the World Heavyweight Champion. Give him props. Oleg Usyk has never lost a fight as a professional, be it as a cruiserweight or as a heavyweight. So I've got to start giving him some props. As far as an all-time great's concerned, I'll leave that to Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD, and of course, the upcoming shot caller, Mr. Sir Thomas Dillamuth. Now, I mentioned, of course, Manny Pacquiao coming up with that draw. This, you know, it was pretty, look at 115, 113, Barrios, I don't know. And then 114, 114, 114, 114. You know, everybody wins with this. And, of course, they get to do it again, possibly. Actually, Manny Pacquiao's talking about fighting Floyd Mayweather. Good Lord, why would he want to do that? Or having the exhibition with Floyd Mayweather. Anyway, Sebastian, the towering inferno, Fedora, 6'5". 23, 1-1, 15 kills. 6 foot, now they're saying 6 foot six now. Wait, is he still growing? Anyway, 6 foot six. Bottom line is, the guy should be in porn. Okay, he isn't. He's in boxing. He's 6'6" and he's fighting 154 pounds. I mean, good Lord. I mean, he's got like a 6-inch height, a 7-inch height advantage. It's just the advantages he has are overwhelming, of course. And Tim Tszyu, I'm talking about the most mismanaged fighter in the history of boxing. There's no doubt about it. When they blew that fight last March, of course, when they took Sebastian Fedora, a 6'5" now, he's grown an inch, 6'6" junior middleweight. They took him on two weeks' notice. Took him on 2 weeks' notice. How the hell do you get ready for a guy that's 6'5" on 2 weeks' notice when you're going to fight a guy that's, when you're supposed to fight a guy that's 5'10"? I mean, it's impossible. I mean, it's impossible. But yet, the Australian, those teams, the team down there that was handling young man Tszyu, they decided they were going to go ahead with it. They went ahead with that fight. He got elbowed in the second round. The corner didn't stop the fight. It was a cut on the top of the head where a vein was. And last night I heard Joe Goosen, a pretty good guy, my buddy for a long time. Anyway, Joe Goosen was on TV last night on the pay-per-view saying, yeah, if he'd have been in that corner, he would have stopped that cut or blah, 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 something like that. Listen, the cut, according to Jake Duran, who's like the cut man to the stars, the cut was in on the top of the head. It was in the scalp where a vein was, where an artery was. The only way you were closing that cut was by stitching it up. So what Joe Goosen said last night, he was talking out his ass. Sorry, Joe, but that's just the way it is. Anyway, outside of Sebastian Fedora, just pummeling Tim Tszyu. He dropped Tim Tszyu in round one. He landed some big shots. I mean, Tim Tszyu came back in the round in which he got stopped there, or he quit after. He came back, he landed a few good shots, but for the most part, man, it's over with as far as Tim Tszyu is concerned. And I said that when he got his ass kicked by that Bakran guy, of course, the 154 IBF champion that nobody wants to fight. I tried to get Tommy D to fight him, and Tommy D won't even sign the contract. Tommy D, you want to fight that Bakran guy?
No, I don't think it's worth any amount of money to fight that guy right now.
Wait, you're a stone cold capitalist. You had to bring in the money factor. So no money, not even the sheik said you. Hey, I make your grandchildren rich.
I just maybe not even with one hand behind his back. No shot.
Or you could have done what Mario Barrios did last night. Did he fight handcuffed?
I think he did fight handcuffed a little bit, and I was surprised his corner didn't wait until like the 11th or 10th or 11th round to tell him to stop showing respect. Like, he was showing him too much respect. He would have hugged and kissed him.
It looked like they had a thing going.
Yeah.
Touching gloves beforehand and it was sickening.
It was ridiculous. It was just, I mean, there's words we can say and that I can say that I don't want to use, but it was just too much respect, too much love. Like, he didn't want to hurt the guy. He didn't want to, you know, enforce his will on him or anything, except he wanted to take him out, you know, maybe for a steak dinner after the fight. That's what it looked like.
Okay. Tim Tszyu, stick a fork in Tim Tszyu, right?
Yeah, I think Tim Tszyu is done. I don't like to say fighters are done like that after, you know, getting knocked out, but I just don't think he has it anymore. I think Baki ruined him, and I think his team ruined him too. Bad management, bad decisions, you know, in the Fedora, the first fight.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe he could take an easy fight in Australia and then, you know, quietly bow out and just retire.
Okay. You know, Ricky Hatton basically did the same thing. I mean, Ricky Hatton, his father, Kashidu, basically did the same thing with Ricky Hatton. Sock pointed out last night, Boxing's PhD, of course, one of our house historians. But the bottom line is, he pointed out last night. And, you know, I never thought much of Ricky Hatton. Honest to God, I thought Ricky Hatton would have had a hard time, and I'm saying this seriously, winning the Golden Gloves here.
I agree. I never thought much of Ricky Hatton either. I mean, I know he got two gifts. One of them was against Collazo. I thought Collazo from, you know, the Puerto Rican from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I thought Collazo beat him.
No doubt about that.
They gave Ricky Hatton a gift. You know, I can't remember the other fighter that Ricky Hatton fought that I thought it was in the UK as well. And you know, that was Urango. Was it Urango?
I don't remember. Anyway,
I think it was Urango. Yeah, Urango. But that was a wide decision. But it was another guy that I thought he got a gift decision against.
Hey, I will say this about Ricky Hatton, okay? Anytime he was around, there was alcohol pouring. I'm not saying he's an alcoholic. I'm not saying that Arturo Gatti's an alcoholic either. Anytime I saw Arturo Gatti when he wasn't close to a boxing ring, there was a drink in his hand. Every time.
Well, you're not the only one to say that. So, you know, I think it's pretty accurate that, you know, he liked to, you know, drink the sauce a little bit in between fights, I guess.
Okay. Oleg Usyk wasn't drinking the sauce. Daniel Dubois got sauced.
Yeah, I mean, Usyk is just, you know, he's just an, I mean, the heavyweight division is a little bit, I don't know. Most of the good fighters is from the UK, but, I mean, he's been fed UK fighter after UK fighter, and he's beaten them all. He's beaten all the UK fighters. I think his last seven fights were all UK fighters. Joshua twice, Fury twice, Dubois twice, Belu. I think he fought Belu too. I think Belu was a cruiserweight. But
okay, but let me go through the heavyweight division for you, because you know we're talking about a whole bunch of killers here. Oleg Usyk, 24. Wait, you caught me there. Oleg Usyk, 24 and zip. Ajit Kebayel, who's a bit of a surprise at 26 and zip from Germany. Daniel Dubois, he's done, 22 and 3 now. Joseph Parker, 36 and 3. He's keeping his head above water. Fabio Wardley, 19-0-1. Lawrence Okoli, 22-1. Anthony Joshua, is he still around? Anyway, he's 28-4. Tyson Fury, is he still around too? 34-2-1. Murat Gassiev and Michael Hunter. You know, Michael Hunter, he's the son of Michael the Bounty Hunter, and he's 37 years old. Time for him to stick a fork in him. Tyson Fury is 36 years old. None of these guys are in their 20s, except Danny Dubois is 27, and he's way done.
I wouldn't say Dubois is done. I just think Dubois just met his match. I think Dubois is still a solid heavyweight, still young guy. You know, he's been beaten and stopped a few times, but I wouldn't say he's done. I think he still can move on. It's just a guy. Usyk is just a guy he just can't beat. He's met his match. I mean, I think that's just what it is. I think the only guy there at heavyweight that got a legit chance may be Ajit Kebayel. I like him. You know, he's a good body puncher as well. You know, it'd be an intriguing matchup, but he's probably, right now, in the heavyweight division, probably the only guy that got a legit shot.
Our straight update is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tommy D, the Sunday Shot Caller. Sir Thomas Dillamuth, the CEO of Tommy D TV. Of course, great broadcast last night. Everybody had a good time and going flicking back and forth on channels. But I'm telling you like this. Sebastian Fedora, I would, if you don't jump on a tall guy right away, you're done. You can't let him set the pattern going, because once he gets the pattern going, you are absolutely, there's no way you can come back unless you close your eyes and hit him on the chin. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both airline and hotel with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming here to all the media and press. Thank you for being here to support our fight tonight. I know you enjoyed the fight, but I thought, although the decision is it's not really a favor to me, like I'm sad, but I did my best. Being a no fight for 4 years, I'm happy for my performance tonight. So thank you to all your support.
Always classy, whether he won or whether he lost or whether he had a draw. Of course, Manny Pacquiao appearing for the 16th time in Las Vegas last night. I'll never forget when he was here in San Francisco, he had no money. Tommy D, he had no money. He had one jogging suit to his name. It was hanging in a shower stall in the Holiday Inn on 8th Street between Market and Mission. He was in a little small room. It was like a phone booth, man. I mean, he was the IBF champion, IBF 122-pound champion at that point in time. He took on Agapito Sanchez, he was a humble guy then, and he's still a humble guy, but at 46, it's time to take a walk, man. Please, take a walk. I know he did well last night, but he should still take a walk.
Yeah, do you think it's he's having money problems? I mean, he's made a ton of money in his career. I mean,
I know, but his old lady needs that plastic surgery. You know, I mean, she looks like she's got a little work done there. Jinky keeps getting. Jinky knows everybody else is getting older. Jinky's getting younger. Coincidence? I don't think so.
That's a very good point. You know that you point that out, because when they showed her last night, I was like, that can't be the same wife.
Oh yeah, it's the same girl. Plastic surgery.
Yeah.
You know, she has some work done. Anyway, the guy that I was having a hard time mentioning his name and pronouncing his name is Bakran Mirzaleyev. He's 23-0 with 17 KOs. Of course, his last fight, we talked about that, when he's topped Tim Zhu in three rounds. He should have been arrested. He beat up Tim Zhu so bad in that fight.
He annihilated him. You know, here's an interesting thing that I found out about, and I did not know. I know he's a Russian fighter, but he lives in Oxnard, California?
Yeah.
Oxnard?
Yeah, exactly. Oxnard, California. Originally from Grozny, Russia, now living in Oxnard, California. That's where Fernando Vargas is from.
Yeah, Fernando Vargas, I think Margarito trained there as well. I think Brandon Rios was training there, even though he's from Kansas City, I think. So I found that very interesting.
Okay. Bam Rodriguez was in action yesterday. It took him 10 rounds to stop Fulmalia Cafu. Cafu came in with three draws. Anytime you got 10 wins and three draws, you've been the benefactor of some judging, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what it usually tells you. But it's true, though. Like, if you go back and look at the fights and look at the, you know, and you look at the records, compare it, that's what it is, you know. So it's not that we're making it up and being funny. I think there's a lot of truth to it.
Okay, Jesse Bam Rodriguez, pound for pound, one of the better fighters in boxing, no doubt about that. But, is he just marching through guys? Is a bowling pin tie for him until he fights in Illinois or what?
I mean, what is he, 118? He's got, it's going to take some, I don't think he's ever going to get a fight with Illinois. 115, yeah. It's hard to gauge, you know, fighters at that weight. Yeah. That's just what it is. A lot of people are not watching those guys. There's a lot of Asian fighters that are in that weight class, whether they're from from the Philippines or from Japan.
They all look like jockeys.
They all they pretty much could be horse jockeys.
Yeah.
You know, so 115 pounds. You know, so it's hard to gauge those guys. I mean, we know that Inoue is the goods. I like Inoue. He's, and we like Nakatani's another guy who's a little bit smaller in weight compared to Inoue. So it's hard to gauge, but I think Bam is legit. You know, and we're gonna see in a few years as, you know, eventually he's gonna move up in weight and fight, you know, better opposition.
You know, I thought a guy had great record. He was undefeated. Ricardo Lopez, that he, when he fought like at 105 pounds for the WBC title, had all record number defenses. And then, how many other guys can fight at 105 pounds? You know what I'm trying to say? In other words, yeah. you can amass a great record. He fought Rosendo Alvarez in Nicaragua, and the Nicaraguan beat him the first time. They called it some type of technical draw. Something again. Suleiman had his ass. Jose Suleiman was his quasi-manager. I hate to interrupt you, but speaking of Suleiman, you ran into Suleiman last week, didn't you?
I did run into Suleiman last Saturday.
Did you run into him with a car?
No. some say I should have, but I did not.
Okay, and what did you guys have an exchange back? What went on?
I spoke to him. I said, how you doing? You know, of course, coming in respectful. And I said, hey, what's up with my guy, you know, and Pedro Fernandez? And his whole demeanor kind of changed. And then, you know, he said, this is a quote. He says, I love Pedro. He put his hand on his heart. He said, I love Pedro. And, you know, I told him to give him a call. Call him.
I'm still waiting on that call.
Yeah.
Here's what's up. Tommy D and I put the WBC on notice. They had that, what was his name? Who was the guy that got burned against Robinson
Canseco? Oshaki Foster against Canseco.
Oshaki Foster. It was a shock that they gave the Brazilian the fight. It was absolute shock. It was a horrible decision. One of the worst I've ever seen in my entire life. And Tommy D and I called it out, and we said that if Mauricio didn't do something about it, he was the part of the problem and not the solution. So they took it all the wrong way, and they bounced us off WBC TV. So when you went at Mauricio last week, I thought that was sort of cool.
Yeah, and I think he was shocked because, you know, we're on the East Coast here in New York, and why would anybody bring up, you know, your name to him? Like he would never in his lifetime expect that, and I think it threw him off a little bit as other guys were trying to talk to him, and he realized like, oh wow, I really, you know, I know this guy, and he knows this guy, and you know, so, but he changed his whole demeanor, and he was trying to say he loves you and all this other stuff, and
yeah. You know. Anyway, listen, I will say this, and his father at times was unscrupulous and did things that were not above the board. I want to just put it to you like that, okay? But he and I had a unique relationship, and I think I explained it to you a little bit earlier, is that Jose Suleiman would rather have me pissing in the tent, outside the tent, than have me pissing outside the tent, in the tent. And you know what I meant by that, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, so that was our relationship. And, of course, I did some little secret things for him and delivered some envelopes, went down to Nicaragua and tried to get Alexis Arguello in rehab and things like that. So Suleiman, there were a lot of good, and you know, and Suleiman, I'll tell you, did I ever tell you about the kid Gavilan, the Cuban champ? You ever remember that name?
No,
it's before your time. It's like in the 60s. Anyway, bottom line is, kid Gavilan was in Miami, and I'm doing some ring announcing, some TV down there. I think it was some New Year's Eve, 1999, somewhere. Bottom line is, it was in the 90s. And he was there, and he was our guest, our great guest, and this is a Cuban champion, that kind of good stuff. So anyway, I called him into the ring, and I gave him the microphone, and he went off. I mean, he went blah, blah, blah. I had to snatch a microphone back out of his hand, okay? But I said to him, I said, do you get Social Security? I said, how do you get by? He says, no. He goes, Jose Suleiman pays my bills. And I went, what? Mm. He sends me money for food, and he sends me money for rent. And I said, wow. Whoa. Okay. So that's the kind of relationship that Suleiman had with a lot of guys, a lot of the older guys that were in tight with him. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, he tried to take care of him. So when he, with things like that, I mean, I realize there's the other side of the magnet, the other side of the pendulum with Jose Suleiman, but stuff like that is just, it's just, it, that touched me.
Yeah, I would, It would touch me as well. I would feel like, you know, this guy is really a good guy, a nice guy and all that. So, I mean, but that's,
Listen, let me tell you. Do you know how I got him to send me to Nicaragua to help Arguello when Arguello was all coked out? Arguello came on the show. He was on cocaine. He said he wanted to die and this kind of stuff. So anyway, I called Suma on the phone. I said to him, listen, I said, I need to go help Alexis. And he was mumbling, blah, blah, blah. It was like 1:30 in the morning. He was mumbling. I said to him, listen, I said, if you didn't make him sign that contract with Don King, I said, he would have made all kinds of money fighting for Harold Smith, blah, blah, blah. Oh, man. I mean, I let Suma know. It was like 1:30 in the morning. Suleiman said, whatever you need, I'll take care of it. So the next morning, he told me I had $25,000 in a Western Union draft to get my ass down to Nicaragua and try to get Alexis into rehab.
Wow.
Yeah, that's so Jose Suleiman. So, yeah. I mean, you can call him Jose Silly Man, call him all kinds of stuff, but he, in some cases, he had a heart of gold. Now, pound for pound, we got about a minute before the break. Nonoa Inoue, you know, when's he going to fight Nakatani? I've never heard Nakatani come out of his mouth. Have you?
No, I've never heard him say anything, call out Nakatani, or anything like that.
You know, Nakatani is like 27 years old, 31 in zip. Of course, Nonoa Inoue is 30-0. He's 32 years old, and he got dropped in his last fight, but he got up and he took care of business. But still, I'd really like to see that fight, and of course, that's to be the super fight of Japan. I mean, they could fill any arena, any stadium. They could fill two stadiums in Japan for that one.
No, that's a mega fight, especially in Japan. It's a mega fight around the world. I mean, there's people that really think that Nakatani could beat Inoue, and I think so too. I think he has a legit shot to beat Inoue. I think Nakatani is just as good. You know, so that's a mega fight. But right now, I think he's fighting some other guy. I don't know if he's a mandatory. Some guy I never heard of, Akhmadaliev like that.
That's the way it rolls. Anyway, Tommy D, you have a good weekend. Hug the wife, the kids. Have a great weekend, man. I love you, and I thank you for everything.
I appreciate you, Pedro. Thank you.
The great Sir Thomas Dillamuth, the Sunday Shot Caller on Sports Byline.
Switching to Progressive is a game-winning call. And that reminds us of other game-winning calls in the history of sports.
It was a doubleheader in August and really hot inside the concession stand. So instead of waiting for people to come to me, I figured I'd walk around yelling,
"Hot dogs here!"
And that's how I became the first hot dog vendor in sports.
Okay, not really a game-winning call, but it was a good call. You can make one too. Switch to Progressive and you could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
This summer with Kohl's, you can rack up the compliments. Like, ooh, where'd you get that dress? Or what are your makeup secrets? Because Kohl's has what you need. Cute dresses, Sephora essentials, stylish polos, comfy kids clothes, and more. Plus, take 20% off some of your faves and enjoy a sales tax holiday in Alabama. Yep, cue the compliments with Kohl's. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Offer ends July 20th. Coupons and Kohl's cash do not apply to Sephora. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. Met him at the Cow Palace. I had a couple of kids. I was with the San Francisco Police Department in the 80s. And I took a couple of contest winners. They won this anti-graffiti contest. I took them out to the Cow Palace. Roddy Piper was there. They took pictures with Roddy Piper and the Road Warriors. I kid you not. Of course, that was back in the day when I had some clout here in this town. Now, I'm just another guy. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. You know, a few weeks ago, we had Julio Cesar Chavez and Jake Paul. Of course, after that fight, I said to myself, you know, Julio Cesar Chavez fought like he was handcuffed. No, he fought like he didn't want to throw any punches. No, he fought like the fight was fixed. I mean, it really looked like the Sinaloa cartel had gotten to Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., of course, and got him to throw the fight with Jake Paul. Why do I say that? Because Jake Paul couldn't lick a stamp if he wet his tongue. I mean, I think Jake Paul was good for boxing to some extent. I mean, he got the girls paid some money, but outside of that, I think he's been bad for boxing. So I think the Chavez fight was possibly fixed, okay? I do. Then a couple of weeks later, we've got Edgar Berlanga going up against Hamas Shiraz, of course, the fighter that's run by Sheikh Turkey Jerky. Now, Sheikh Turkey Jerky is a multi-billionaire. Now, can I say it again? A multi-billionaire. I can keep going. He's probably got more billions than anybody in the entire world. I kid you not. So if ever there was a guy that wanted to buy and put his guys in a good position and could do it with money, you think it could be Sheikh Turkey Jerky. So when Hamas Shiraz, of course, when he got that draw against when you got that draw a fortnight ago, I mean, that was a little crazy, of course. And then you got a roll with Berlanga. Now, he comes out and he smokes Berlanga. I mean, he just does. He moves from 160 to 160 pounds, and he looks like, man, I mean, that Carlos Adames fight, I mean, he looked like he sucked badly at 160, but then he moves up 8 pounds, and then he beats the snot out of Edgar Berlanga. Berlanga came to the fight looking unfocused. I guess that's the best way I can put it. Of course, you know, it just did. And of course, the scoring of last night's fight, I mean, it just, I don't know. I can't disagree with that, the final scoring of the Manny Pacquiao fight, but I can't agree with it either, because the bottom line is, you know, one guy shouldn't have been in there because of his age. He was 46 years old. His reflexes are a bit gone, but then again, he was a better fighter of the two last night, even though the other guy was 30 or 31 years old, okay? The other guy was 6'1" or 6'. He had all these physical advantages, and he didn't do any. They were touching gloves and making love before and after rounds, this kind of stuff. It just stunk really, really bad. So what I'm trying to tell you is, it looks like there's been some suspicious stuff. I just put it to you like that. There's been some seriously suspicious stuff. Speaking of suspicious, I kid you not, I remember seeing I was coming out of the Caesars Palace Outdoor Arena one night, and I ran into Michael Jackson. I kid you not. So I'm running out, and Michael Jackson's wearing this red outfit. He's dressed like a soldier, an army guy, something like that. Anyway, bottom line is, you know, his mother turned 95 the other day, 95 years old. Of course, he died in 2009, June 25th, 2009, age of 50. And the reason why I bring him up, because his mother turned 95, but the fact that, you know, when you're dead, you're dead. And the reason why I say this was the king of pop, right? And if you look at him when they took him off that airplane, off that helicopter, and put him in that van at the airport, they threw him, and he bounced in the ambulance. I kid you not, he bounced on the floor of the ambulance. So what I'm trying to tell you is, once you're dead, you're dead. And that includes Michael Jackson. Now, of course, Jesse Bam Rodriguez, considered the WBC, of course, and Ring Magazine Super Flyweight Champions, 115 pounds, of course, 22-0 now, 15 KOs. San Antonio, Texas, he faced the WBO Super Flyweight Champion, Fumelia Cafu, 11-1 now. Three draws. I remember the three draws and the 8 KOs from South Africa. Of course, had the draws, I think, in London in South Africa, East London, I think you call it. Anyway, bottom line is, it was a title unification main event at the Frisco, in Frisco, Texas, at the Ford Center. Of course, good arena, no doubt about that. But the bottom line is, Bam showed why he's the best pound-for-pound fighter, one of the top 5 pound-for-pound fighters in all the boxing. I kid you not. He became the unified WBC, WBO, and Ring Magazine Super Flyweight Champion. He stalked his opponent all night, showing off all kinds of stuff. But the bottom line is, he was supposed to. I mean, he was like fighting me or the impeccable one. He was going to get Rolo. He was going to be, I mean, he was supposed to beat this guy. He was supposed to lick this guy like a stamp. He did. And he did lick him like a stamp. Now, his big challenge, I think, will be be at a higher weight, 118 or 122. Of course, 122, we've got the Monster in Illinois, 30-0. Of course, we've got 31-0, the aforementioned Junto Nakatani, the WBC 118-pound champion, who I think might be the jewel. Tommy D said it as well. Of course, that's the reason why, I think that's the reason why the Illinois doesn't mention him. I mean, he's never mentioned this dude. I mean, why would you not mention one guy? What would compel you not to mention a guy? I just don't get it. Straight up, the 12th of September, of course, the big fight taking place in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Allegiant Arena. Of course, the stadium, the outdoor stadium, indoor stadium, call it what you want. I think they can do both. They can roll the roof back. But the home of the Oakland Raiders. Oh, I mean, the Las Vegas Raiders. Anyway, Canelo Alvarez now 63-2-2. 35 years old, 39 KOs, of course, taking on a guy that's never lost a fight. I'm talking about Terrence Crawford now, 41 is it, 31 KOs. Now, people are worried about Terrence Crawford because he's 37, maybe almost 38 years old. But the bottom line is, you know, he didn't look that good against Madrimov that last time out. He just didn't. Of course, he won the fight, but the bottom line is he didn't look stellar. And some people thought he did it on purpose in order to get the Canelo fight. And then he gets the Canelo fight, and he gives up all the concessions. In other words, instead of demanding Canelo weigh a certain weight or we weigh in a certain time or this kind of stuff, put some stipulations in there. No. Crawford just said, just do whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. I guess he thinks he's going to beat Canelo hand over fist, and I think there's a good chance of him doing that. Of course, he is a slight underdog as I speak. Canelo Alvarez, of course, the man, the pound-for-pound Mexican king, that kind of good stuff. But as far as pound-for-pound fighters are concerned, you got Oleg Usyk. You have to consider him one of the top five pound-for-pound fighters in the world. No Inouye, one of the top five pound-for-pound fighters in the world. The aforementioned Junto Nakatani, one of the top five pound-for-pound fighters in the world. And then, you know, you've got David Benavidez, who I think is one of the top five. I think David Benavidez is the best. I really do. People say to me, how can you say that? Because nobody wants to fight him. I mean, Canelo Alvarez runs from him. I mean, ran, fled. I don't know what the word, flee. I don't know what word I can use. I just don't. 3.5 years, he was the number one contender. The WBC said, we're going to make him fight David Benavidez, Canelo Alvarez. Yeah, they said that one time about 2.5 years ago. They didn't do anything after that. Bottom line is, that's Mauricio Sulli, man. Anyway, bottom line is, 3.5 years, number one contender at 168. He can't get a fight with Canelo, so he moves to 175. So the 175, the 175-pound champion, is Dmitry Bivol. He just beat Artur Beterbiev, okay? Well, guess what? Bivol says, I'm not going to fight Benavidez. So Benavidez, come on, man. So now Benavidez is going to fight Anthony Yardley, the guy from the UK with a nice record. He's like 24-2, something like a big puncher, nice body, but Benavidez is going to eat him up. I think pound for pound is the best fighter in the world. I think Mike Tyson feels the same way. Is this me and Tyson feel that way? Nobody wants to fight the dude. That should say enough right then and there. Nobody wants to fight the dude. Now back to Canelo Alvarez and Terrence Crawford. Of course, Canelo being the slight favorite here. I'm going to go with Crawford. Why do I say that? Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. I like a guy that fights black. I just do. I mean, versus the Mexican style over the black style, I like a guy that fights black. And why do I say that? Because I combine both styles myself as far as my individual style was concerned. But it's just that, you know, sometimes you got to stock a guy and sometimes you got to box a guy. I think the boxers always prevail a little bit better. Of course, in the co-feature last night on that card coming to us from across the pond in the sold-out Wembley Stadium, 91,000 people, WBA, former WBO Cruiserweight title holder Lawrence Okolie, now 22-1, 16 zips, scored a one-sided 10-round decision over Kevin Lorena. Kevin came in at 31-2 with a nice record, 15 KOs, but guess what? It didn't work out. The 6'5", 262-pound Okolie kept a shorter Lorena on the outside of his punches, and the bottom line is the scores were like 9-1 in rounds and 10-0 rounds, 10-zip, 10-zip, and 9-1 as far as the rounds were concerned. Upcoming fights coming up, of course. You got to think about the heavyweight champion. Where's he going to go from here? What's he got left to prove? There isn't anybody else at the heavyweight division that's really worth fighting. I mean, if I was Danny Dubois, and I think Frank 1961, our house historian, was right, I think I would have probably gone after the Anthony Joshua rematch, would have made a little bit more money doing that, and then, you know, maybe lost to Usyk after one big payday. But they didn't think about it that way. I think that maybe Daniel Dubois thought that, you know, from that body shot a few years ago in 2023, when he I thought he stopped Oleg Usyk on that body shot, and Luis Pabon, my favorite referee from Puerto Rico, said to him, take all the time you want to rest. You need a chair? You need a cigar? I mean, he did everything he can. He did everything he could for Oleg Usyk in that fight, of course. And I thought that Dubois deserved to win. But last night, Dubois is not a killer per se. Somehow, I guess he just must catch guys early and or catch guys lucky because he just doesn't throw punches in a way I think that's effective. And last night, yesterday against Oleg Usyk, he did absolutely nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. It was all Oleg Usyk. Usyk fought left-handed, he fought right-handed, he fought any way he wanted. I mean, he just witch slapped him, for lack of a better day. That's the way I put it. Of course, in the co-main event yesterday of the coming to us from across the pond, Super Bantamweight Angel AK-47 Barrantes, 14-1 now from Las Vegas by way of Honolulu, went to war with veteran fighter Jorge El Pupo Romero, now 23-2-1 from Miami by way of Cuba, stopping in a very entertaining fight at 30 seconds of the 10th round. Chris Young jumped in and stopped. It was for a WBA regional title belt. Now, back to regional titles and titles and interim titles and this and that. Back to the WBC. Didn't they have the WBC interim championship last night with Mercado and Isaac Cruz, Pitbull Cruz took this guy apart over 12 rounds, just beat the snot out of him, okay? But this is for the WBC interim 140-pound crown. But then a couple of weeks ago, we had a guy's fighting for the WBC 140-pound crown. So why are they doing this a couple weeks later? Because there's nobody telling them they can't. They've got multiple champions in every weight division now, and they're banking on it. I mean, you know, they're getting sanctioned fees off each fighter. If they get 2% of each purse, if they got 2% of each guy last night, think about that. If Manny Pacquiao brought in $15 million, the other guy brought in like $5 or $6 million, because, you know, Pacquiao was going to make the majority of the money there. But if it went down like that and the sanctioned buyers were getting 1% or 2%, that's a lot of money. That's how they stay on top. And I told you, the world of Bunko and Chicanery, or the WBC, call them what you want, run by Mr. Suleiman, it's a family-run organization. What I mean by that is you got sisters and fathers and uncles and brothers and all that kind of good stuff. Every time you turn around, it's Suleiman, one of his relatives. So it's a non-profit organization, but I guess they're making a lot of money. They have to make a lot of money. Now, do I think the mob was involved in the fights yesterday? No, I don't think the mob was involved in the fights yesterday as far as Mario Barrios is concerned. I just think Mario Barrios is a clearly inferior fighter, and he might have I don't think you want to bet. He wouldn't bet against himself, but he just didn't have the confidence. You got to have some confidence when you step into the squared circle that you're going to be able to beat guys, okay? You're going to impose your will. He never was able to impose his will. Like Danny Dubois was unable to impose his will against Oleg Usyk. If you can't impose your will, you're not going to win. And when you fight tall guys, I'm going to go back to fighting tall guys. Fighting tall guys, you know, like Sebastian Fedora and Tim Zhu, if you don't impose your will right away, you're done. Because once they get in rolling on a pattern on you and they're jabbing you from the outside, I fought a guy that was 6'1" one time, another guy that was 6'1½. I remember when they suckered me into the fight in the Army champion, U.S. Army champion. He was 156-pound champion. They didn't tell me that. They told me it was some bum from Fort Ord, right? So I wasn't ready to fight, and they canceled my fight the day before. So I showed up at the Menudo Festival over there in Pleasanton, California. They said, we need somebody for the main event. And my ego being what it was, I said, okay, I'll do it. Pull my trunks out of the trunk of my car, and I put them on. Of course, I went out there and I fought this dude, and I got tired in the first round. I realized, man, I shouldn't be fighting out here. Bottom line is, and Otis Grimble, the head of the Golden Gloves, told me, a former policeman from Sacramento, he told me that they were going to be 2-minute rounds. They were 3-minute rounds. I mean, Otis just screwed me. He wanted me to get beat. I guess he wanted me to get the spit kicked out of me. Bottom line is, I cut the other guy, and once I cut him, I said, referee, the guy's cut. He's cut. So they stopped the fight, and I was lucky to win. But the other guy, of course, I rumbled with was Keith Rucker. Keith Rucker was 8-0 with 6 knockouts. 6'1", 139 pounds, knocking everybody dead. All right. I knocked him down 12 seconds of the fight. Why? Because if I didn't, he was going to kick my ass. This is the way it is. If you don't oppose your will on a taller guy right away, you are done. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two. I'll bring in Mike Sapai. We'll talk about Terry Davis, Sylvester Stallone, Michelle Pfeiffer, all kinds of good stuff. And then, of course, we'll bring in Dennis Rappaport, of course, the Wacko twin himself, one of the Wacko twins with Mike Jones. They managed Jerry Cooney back in the day. We'll talk about the late Connie Francis and some boxing as well. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number one of two on Sports Byline.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later.
800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, that's a change in society today. And that's it's a lot of, you know, we could get into that. We're going to a million things, even though they watch so many of the shows. I mean, it's nothing but stuff, whether there's crime scene or this and that. It's always the TV show, it's cutting up the body, somebody's finding the body decomposing, all of it. This is a society right now that just totally out of focus. Excessive violence, excessive sex on TV and the music and the theaters. I mean, it's just a, and the sports, the only thing that they can relate to, which they see most, is basketball and football, mainly basketball. And that's what the kids are most far doing, especially the black kids. And it's normal, you want to go into something, what you see, you don't even see all the amateur boxing on TVs. A lot of people see something, that's what they want to be involved with, but they don't even see that anymore.
The great Emmanuel Stewart, of course, the Kronk Jim Gold's father, may he rest in peace, passed away October 25th, 2012. Remember, he shot me a tweet on the 22nd of October of that year, of course, 3 days before he died, and said, I don't think I'm going to make it or something like that, and it made me cry. And of course, 3 days later, he passed away. He was such a great guy to be around. And of course, he was only like the guy that brought us to Kronk Jim, but he was a great analyst on HBO. I mean, he just was a wonderful guy to be around. It just was. I mean, we went all over the world together, and he took care of members staying in his house there in Detroit. Of course, we had a house right across the street was Leon Spinks' old house. Of course, before that, Diana Ross lived there. And when Leon Spinks lived there, Leon Spinks was getting his ass kicked one night by his wife and his wife's girlfriend. And they were beating him with a frying pan. I'm kidding you. They were beating him over the head with a frying pan. One of the big heavy set wife was sitting on top of him while the girlfriend was beating him with a frying pan. So I kid you not, this is what's going on. So a man, he hears all this screaming, and he runs across the street, and he said, he walks into the whore, and he says, what's going on? He said, hey, you want some? He said, no, I didn't want none. I wasn't going to use the word he wanted to use, but I couldn't drop it right now because the impeccable is looking at me. Like, don't use that word. Don't use that word. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming up, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, we'll bring in Mike Sapaya talking about Terry Davis, Sylvester Stallone, of course, the big love triangle, and we'll spend some time with Dennis Rapport, of course, Jerry Cooney's manager, talking about Connie Francis boxing and more. That's coming up after the news right here on Sports Byline. Straight up, you are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming up, 6 minutes.
It's a Sports Byline Sports Update. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. As the weekend hits, a familiar name is battling for the top spot of the leaderboard at the 153rd Open Championship at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Scottie Scheffler is looking for his third major win overall, his second this season after capturing the PGA in May. If Scheffler were to win the Claret Jug, he would be three-quarters of the way to his majors Grand Slam, having won the Masters in 2022 and 2024. Scheffler's most unpredictable part of his game is his flat stick. If he putts even average, he should win. NBC has the coverage this weekend. Major League Baseball also returns this weekend, and it kicked off with the Cubs halting the Red Sox win streak at 10 with a 4-1 matinee win at Wrigley Field on Friday. Aaron Judge continues his hot pursuit of the Triple Crown as the Yankees are in Atlanta for a three-game series. And the weekend of baseball concludes with Sunday Night Baseball as the runaway leaders in the American League Central, the Detroit Tigers, visit Arlington, Texas to square off against the Texas Rangers. And finally, despite the hot weather you might be experiencing this weekend, cooler days are not far off as NFL training camps officially opened this past Wednesday when the Los Angeles Chargers reported to El Segundo, California. And the camps open in earnest this Tuesday with 26 of the 32 NFL teams welcoming back their 2025 squads. With this Sports Byline Sports Update, I'm Brock Hines.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect. And by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. Start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American.
America we need right now. American. Premium vodka. Celebrate responsibly.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern Time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Soccer season rolls on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is Tyler Levine, host of First Touch, the premier weekly global soccer show across the entire Sports Byline Broadcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Simple Radio, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. We're talking English Premier League, Champions League, our picks of the week, and a whole lot more. First Touch on Sports Byline USA Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. See you there.
The Sports Grid Radio Network presents This Date in Sports History.
1990, Deion Sanders hits an inside-the-park home run for the Yankees.
Deion Sanders blazing around second. The throw to the plate gets on by. Sanders flies over, and now he is safe at home.
Sanders is considered one of the greatest cornerbacks of all time in the NFL, but was an impactful baseball player during his 9 seasons on the diamond. For Sports Grid Radio, I'm Mike Demergis.
Every champion has a team behind them, and for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year, and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Check it. This is hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to hour number two. Of course, we'll spend some time in this hour with one of the Wacko Twins. Why I call him one of the Wacko Twins? Because that's what the New York media called him when he was managing Jerry Cooney. Him and Mike Jones, of course, the late Mike Jones, they called him the Wacko Twins. I mean, why? We'll talk about that with Dennis Rapoport about 40 minutes past hour. We'll also talk about the late Connie Francis. She was a singer of note, and of course, Dennis knew her. I got to see her a couple of times. Bottom line, we'll talk about that more with Dennis at 40 minutes past hour. But we're going to delve into the world of gossip. Terry Davis, who was a heavyweight boxer, got involved with Sylvester Stallone, who was supposed to be the guy in the Rocky V movie. Of course, the role that Tommy Morrison ended up playing. Bottom line is, he didn't get that, and he didn't get it because of a lot of scandalous things. So we'll talk about that with Mike Sapaia, my friend, of course, since 55, maybe, probably 60 years now. I've known Mike 60 years. We'll go back 6 years with Mike. Of course, Mike was a guy that we had a race riot in 1968 in San Francisco. Of course, it was at my elementary school, and they had a race riot. The blacks got out of line because of the fact that Martin Luther King had been killed, right? So they went and started tearing things up, and Mike shut down the riot all by himself. Oh, I kid you not. Mike Sapaia shut the riot down all by himself. That's what a bad dude, pound for pound, Mike Sapaia. So we'll talk about Mike Sapaia. We'll talk about the fact that Terry Davis, of course, out of Vallejo, California, won the Golden Gloves with me back in the 80s. Of course, he was considered like the next heir apparent to greatness as far as the white hopes are concerned, of course. And then he hooked up with Sylvester Stallone, and then things just sort of went south for him. We'll talk about he passed away a couple of years ago. We'll talk about that and more with my man. Straight up, open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Oleg Gusek was a winner over Danny Dubois in 5 rounds. No surprise there. Manny Pacquiao and Mario Barros went to a 12-round draw. 2 judges had even. 1 judge had Barros winning 115, 113, or 75 rounds. And I don't think so. I think Manny Pacquiao did enough to win. Straight up, 46-year-old shouldn't be boxing, but Mario Barros should be arrested for impersonating a Mexican warrior. Guy fought handcuffed. He was hugging Manny Pacquiao. It was like these guys had a domestic relationship. They weren't fighting each other. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. The impeccable one. The one, the only, Bailey Peck will take it away. Of course, he's my producer for Sunday, and I thank him from the bottom of my heart. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Little Tower of Power coming back from the break. I want to mention the fact that my man, Alan Gorey, one of the founding members of the Average White Band, of course, got to MC one of their last gigs in November of last year, of course, when he retired after 52 years in a row. Bottom line is, Alan Gorey turned 79 years old yesterday. Happy birthday, Alan. Straight up, we take it from San Francisco to Arizona and bring in, of course, my man, Mike Sapaya. Michael's one of the baddest dudes, pound for pound, in the world of street fighting. We were scared to death. Everybody was scared to death of him. I turned out he was a big sissy. I'm sorry. Straight up, Mike, how are you?
Great, Petey. How are you, buddy?
Just giving you a hard time, man. You are, you know, when we were kids, we were all scared to death of you.
Couldn't be.
Yeah, I'm we were. That's why the black dudes decided they were going to jump you. They didn't want to fight you one-on-one.
Well, I ate a lot of Lucky Charms as a kid, so I guess I had a little charm left.
But that didn't work out too well for them. The numbers didn't work out too well. Remember that when they were upset Martin Luther King had been murdered the day before, and they decided they would start some type of race riot at school, and you chased them all back home?
Well, that was a long time ago. I remember parts of it, but some of it, you know, is vague now. As you get older, your memory starts to dim.
Oh, man, you don't smoke enough weed. Bottom line is, let's talk about Terry Davis. Of course, Terry Davis came most out of Vallejo, California. He was a Golden Glove champion. I think he won a championship the same year I won it, back in 86, I believe. But the bottom line is, you know, he was a white hope that we thought was really going to do things. But then when he fought Lionel Butler, it was like, Lionel Butler, I think he was in 1990. He only had a few fights on his belt. Take that back, maybe 8 or 10. But the bottom line is he fought Lionel Butler over in Richmond, California. And I thought, and Lionel Butler lit him up like a White House Christmas tree. I mean, he just did. He lit him up. I mean, it was like bad. And Terry Davis sort of like floundered. And I said to myself, what's going on here? Anyway, he never got himself psychologically straight after that fight. And, of course, then he was becoming the great white hope with Sylvester Stallone. Now, his relationship with Sylvester Stallone fell apart. Why?
Well, one of the contributing factors is that Terry Davis ended up having a little bit of a tryst, what do you want to call it?
Are you trying to imply he had sex with somebody?
Yeah, it was the woman he was married to, that Bridget Nielsen, the gal that was married to him.
Oh, Bridget, Terry Davis banged Bridget Nielsen?
Well, I wasn't there, but he gave me some details, and, you know, I said, Terry, either you're the dumbest guy I've ever known, or you got the biggest cojones I've ever known.
Yeah, I think he's the dumbest. I mean, that's pretty stupid to be banging the boss's old lady.
Well, you know, like he said,
No, can't say that one. Anyway, but yeah, I cut you off on that one, Mike. Mike Sapai is our guest, of course. Mike is from Bernal Heights here in the city by the bay. We both went to Juniper Serra Elementary School back in the day. You know, remember Mr. Bardoli?
Yes, I do.
Okay, do you know that there are several lawsuits against him regarding him molesting kids at Junior Becerra? Did you know that?
No, I never knew that.
Oh, yeah, there are. In fact, I think there was a $5 million was awarded because of him to five different people. $1 million to five different people. I kid you not. That's what was going on back in the day. Beatrice Lynch, she knew. I tried to tell her. She shined me on. They told me I had an overactive imagination.
Yeah, that's how they cover it.
Yeah, and so of course, and Mr. Bardoli was like fired a year later. Of course, he died living out on 48th Avenue in the city. I remember when I was a cop out there in the Terrell, I saw him one time. You know, and I use this joke a lot. If you run into somebody I don't like, run into them with a car. When I saw Bardoli, I wanted to run into him with the police car.
Wow.
I mean, this was a guy.
Yeah, I got to ask you a quick question. Did you think that the decision of the Pacquiao and that kid fight last night was valid or justified? Or
I thought the other guy fought like he was handcuffed. I mean, I fought like he didn't want to win. I mean, he didn't throw. He never threw three punches in a row. He threw a jab. He was 6 foot tall, and he couldn't establish himself. After he established a jab for a while, he just stopped throwing it, and then he wasn't throwing anything. And I mean, if you don't throw any punches, the other guy's going to win.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That was an interesting encounter there. And then with Usyk was very interesting.
Well, how interesting. Would Usyk have been able to hang with the heavyweights back like Larry Holmes or those guys of that year? Could he? I mean, I think he could have beat like guys like Mike Weaver, but I don't think he could have beat Larry Holmes. What do you think? Michael Spinks.
Yeah, I kind of agree there with Larry Holmes. Larry Holmes had a fantastic jab, and he was pretty, experience in that ring.
Okay. Back to Terry Davis. Terry Davis, of course, had all kinds of issues as far as outside the ring concerned. But, you know, at one point in time, we really thought he was going to be the guy. It was going to be Stallone's. He was supposed to be Tommy Gunn, the role that Tommy Morrison got in the Rocky V movie, right?
Absolutely correct.
And he blew that by having an inappropriate relationship with Sylvester Stallone's girlfriend. And I heard a rumor that it was poolside and that Stallone had a video camera on the whole thing.
Well, not just that. You have to understand.
Wait, he did?
Yeah, he showed him. He showed him a cassette tape when he got back home. And he had five guys and, you know, goombas with him in his office, and he invited him in there, and Terry told me, I knew something was up, and I just said to myself, I'm going to hit the biggest guy with my right hand and then go from there. So luckily none of that transpired, but Sylvester Stallone cut him loose, and his career went from all the way, it just went down, just went deeper than the memorable voyage to the bottom of the sea, was sunk deeper than the submarine.
He lost five of his last six fights, four by knockout.
Yeah. Then he had Andrew Gallada, that's another goofball. And I took him on two rounds, and that was the end of that story.
I remember when he beat when he beat Henry Tillman, I thought maybe he was making a little bit of a comeback there because he had lost, and then Nathaniel Fitch got stopped by Michael Moore and this and that. But when he beat Tillman, of course, Tillman was a cruiserweight champion at one point in time. But when he beat Tillman, I said to myself, well, maybe he's got a couple some breathing left in him. Of course, he beat David Bay next, and then he lost to Galata, Addison Rodriguez, Matthew Brooks, Brian Nielsen. Won against Carl McGrew was 4. You know what? You know why he won against Carl McGrew? Carl McGrew was 4-21. That was his record. 4 wins, 21 losses. So he beat him. But he lost his last fight against Obed Sullivan. That was in 1996. Now, he went to. Why did he go to jail?
Well, he went to jail because a gal that he was seeing and had a baby with was basically using him to take care of this trailer court property that she had. And once he finished all the upkeeps and everything, she said, you got to leave. And he says, I'm not leaving. I've done all this work. You know, screw you. Long story short, she came back and brought charges to him alleging that he molested their daughter. She was like 5 or 6 years old. So he went to prison for that.
Man, did you?
I told him. I asked him point blank. I said, "Jerry, you tell me right now that you didn't fucking do this."
Hey, man, you can't be saying that. We can't use that kind of language on the air. But this is radio.
Forgive me.
All right.
Uh-huh. So he told me he didn't do it. He swore up and down a stack of Bibles, phone books, that he never did it.
Well, I don't know what to say because you know, people get accused of things that they're not. That they haven't done, falsely accused. That happens all the time, especially in the world of custodies and relationships and things like that. Now, how did he die?
The last few months of his life, which I didn't know at the time, he was down and out and living in a trailer. His storage at a trailer, storage shelter, where you put your stuff in a storage. Uh-huh. And he was sneaking in there, ditching the truck and sneaking in there and hiding in there. And in the morning he'd come out, you know, and go about his business. The last thing I heard was that's where they found him. I don't know 100% if that was the case, but the last time I spoke to him was about a few months before he passed away.
Okay. Did he have potential? Did he have potential? I mean, I'll ask you that. You rumbled with him. Did he have potential, or was he just a white guy that could punch a little bit?
Well, he had potential, but then he was a white guy that can punch, and yeah, and I know I was on the receiving end of it, and I heard the national anthem in 5 different languages, but it was my fault because at the time, I was greener than the cucumber. When I hit him with that left hook, I thought, that's it, hasta la vista. I turned to my left to go see Eric the Prince Martin, who was in my corner in Rio Rosa, and I had my hands up thinking I was done. Next thing you know, incoming missile, and that was all she wrote. And Marty Salmon was graciously enough, kind, to mercifully end it after 5, you know, up and down.
Can I tell you a Marty Salmon story real quick?
Quickly.
He took away two points from me in a fight with Mike Christie. And it was for the novice championship back in the day. So anyway, bottom line, it was the only championship fight ever lost. But he took away 2 points. And I lost a split decision. So Marty Salmon and I are in Malaga, Spain at the 1992 WBC convention, and I get him drunk. I mean, he's really drunk. So I'm looking at him, and he starts looking weird. What's up, Marty? He goes, well, I got to tell you something. I go, what? He goes, you know, when I took those 2 points away from you in that title fight, he goes, Otis Grimble told me to do it. I said, say what? He goes, yeah, Otis didn't want you winning because you beat the other guy to death the night before. I said, see, there's some guy named Miguel something. He was like the San Jose's hottest prospect, and I knocked him out in 12 seconds. The arena record then for the San Jose Civic Auditorium. Okay, so wow. I ruined. They had a big newspaper article spread on the whole thing, but I ruined their plans. So that's how Otis tried to get back at you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Otis was a piece of work. So anyway, Marty Salmon tells me that in Malaga, Spain, in 1992, that yeah, he took away 2 points and he thought that I should have won that fight. It was nice on Marty's part, but it just showed what a creep that Otis Grimble was. Of course, Otis Grimble ended up killing himself. So more power to him.
Yeah. That's right.
All right. Mike, so you're impressed with Oleg Usyk yesterday, huh?
Yeah, I was, you know, because you have to understand, the guy basically is a cruiserweight blowing up. But yeah, I thought the other guy talked so much, had a big mouth. He said he was going to do this and this and that, and he reminded me what happened with the Belanger. Talked all that smack, and you know, couldn't bring it home.
Okay, I got to ask you. We'll go along on this one. All right, question. The first the Chavez-Jake Paul fight, Chavez, I thought, was controlled by the Sinaloa mob, and I think they got They bet on Jake Paul. I think that's what went on there because he didn't throw a punch for like 9 rounds. One punch, one round, he didn't throw any punches. Anyway, bottom line is that was a little bit weird, okay? Then we had the fight with Baranga and the Sheik's fighter, Hamas Shiraz. Bottom line is, if ever there was a guy that was in a position to pay a guy off, it was Sheik Turkey Jerky. You know what I'm saying? And Berlanga didn't look like Berlanga even tried. Didn't look he tried.
I know.
So I mean,
jeez.
And then last night we got the guy Mario Barros not trying against Pacquiao.
I can't figure it out. The 46-year-old guy who's been out a commission for 4 years. Yes, he was nominated to the Hall of Fame, but Jesus Christmas. I mean, come on. Where's the integrity of boxing anymore?
There is no integrity. But you know what? It was lost when the boxing press went away, when myself, with Flash Magazine, Boxing Update, the boxing newspaper, boxing trade papers, and the New York Times, and the New York Daily News, and the Baltimore Sun, and the L.A. Times, and the SF Chronicle, when all those guys, when those boxing writers went away, the boxing industry realized we're policing ourselves. We'll do whatever we want.
You're right.
Anyway, that's the way it is. Mike, I love you. I hope you're moving back to the city real soon, man.
I'm going to come up for the funeral of a dear friend, and then my son is training the Arizona State 154-pound kid. Really good kid. Look out for him in the future. Jonathan Hernandez.
Okay. You know what? Make sure you hook up with me when you come up here, okay?
You got it, pal. Thank you. God bless.
The great Mike Sapaya, folks. I've been friends with him for over 6 years. We go back to elementary school. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Can I just
Go for it.
One postscript. After that fight, I thought of something the great sports writer Red Smith once wrote. If you want to find out who won a close fight, ask a 9-year-old kid.
Soul Side of Time, Tower of Power. Check them out, towerofpower.com. They are still rock and rolling. They've been around since 1968. Emilio Castillo, of course, the band leader. He and I have had our differences over the years, but the bottom line is he's kept the band together since 1968. Straight up, best fighter of the weekend has to go to Oleg Usyk. I mean, he totally dismantled Daniel Ball. I give him props on that one. Mario Barros and Manny Pacquiao, they're going to try to run that back again, or they're trying to put Manny Pacquiao in with a rematch with Floyd Mayweather. I don't want to see that again. I mean, I don't ever want to see Floyd Mayweather again, ever. Not on TV, not in a ring, not in person, not on a street corner, not anywhere. I just wish he would go away. As far as Manny's concerned, he's starting to wear out his welcome. Of course, Mario Barros should be shot for impersonating a WBC champion without a doubt, and he must be a little bit scandalous that the WBC had him as their welterweight champion. I mean, that stunk to high hell. Bam Bam Rodriguez, the winner, of course, stopped his guy by the name of Fumali Kafu. I believe he was from Africa by way of London, and he stopped him in the 11th round for the 115-pound championship, both the WBC and the WBA. Now, coming up next week, the Puerto Rican sensation. I'm talking about Xander Zayas, 21 and zip, 13 KOs. People say he's like the next coming of Jesus Christ as far as boxers are concerned in Puerto Rico. Of course, talk about Felix Trinidad, and there were some good fighters from Puerto Rico. Of course, Wilfred Benitez before he became retarded and things like that. But the bottom line is there's some great fighters from Puerto Rico, Alfredo Escalera. I go on and on. But now, Xander Zayas, considering the heir apparent to greatness as far as people from the island is concerned. Of course, born in Puerto Rico, now he lives in Sunrise, Florida, but the bottom line, he was born in San Juan, 21 and zip, as I said, taking on Jorge Garcia Perez. And Perez got a record of 33-4. He's never had any draws, and he's got like 26 stops, but the bottom line is he's got gray hair, and I think he's going to get lit up like the White House Christmas tree. And he's only 28 years old. He looks like he's 90. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, Xander Zayas is head and shoulders above anybody else, I think, at 154, with the exception of the elite guys, like, you know, the aforementioned Sebastian Fedora. That would be a great fight. In fact, I think that Sebastian Fedora, I think they might have, or one of those guys gave up a WBO crown because they didn't want to fight Zayas right then and there. Bottom line is, too many sanctioning bodies. Everybody's a world champion. Like last night, the WBO world champion, the WBC world champion, the IBF world champion. Man, I'm tired of all these world champions. Bottom line is, there's only really one really one world champion, but the bottom line is you don't get to see that one guy too often. Of course, at 154 pounds, you got Terrence Crawford. Of course, he's taking on Canelo Alvarez on September the 12th. That's going to go down to Las Vegas. Of course, he's number one according to BoxRec. Number two is my guy, Bakram Merzlov, 23-0, 17 KOs, 32 years old, living out of Oxnard, California. Number three, Virgil Ortiz, still undefeated, 23-0. Of course, he was like with 21 knockouts, something like that. But the bottom line is, he was 27 years old, and at one point in time, he was the heir apparent to greatness, but blood issues or steroid issues or some type of health issues sort of put him back. Xander Zayas, the aforementioned, ranked number four at 154 as far as box record is concerned. He, of course, I mentioned, 21 and zip. Coming up next, Sebastian Fedora, the WBC champion, 23-1-1, 27 KOs. You know, right now, I would rate him above all these other guys, except for maybe Bakram Mazarov and Crawford. I'd even rate him above Crawford. Crawford had his last fight with Israel Madrimov. Didn't look all that good in that one, of course, but he won a 12-round decision that put him in the position to fight Canelo Alvarez on the 12th of September. And, of course, I think that's going to be a bit of an upset as Canelo Alvarez is old, slow, and he fights in a style where he needs to be able to impose his will. And I don't know if he's going to be able to impose his will against Terrence Crawford, because Terrence Crawford can fight, and Terrence Crawford fights black. And I know I say this, but I prefer a black-style fighter over a fighter that fights Mexican, just so that. And I mentioned a little bit earlier that I tried to combine both styles when I was fighting, but the bottom line is you got to have a little bit. Anyway, Mizrael Magomedov, the aforementioned, 10-2-1 now, 30 years old out of Indio, California. All these Russians are living in Indio, Oxnard, down there in Southern California, of course, big-time Ukrainians and Russians down there, of course. As the rest of the top 10, 154 pounds concerned, Keith Thurman, who was on TV last night, looking like he weighed 190 pounds, fat as a pig, not making too much sense. Erickson Lubin's next at 27-2. Sergio Bolachek is number 9 at 26-2. And number 10 is Jesse Alejandro, Ramos Jr., he's ranked number 10. He's 23-1. Comes to us out of Arizona, California. So outside of those couple of three guys, man, 154, they have a good round robin going here. I mean, they could really rumble. We've got Bachram and Virgil Ortiz, Xander Zayas, and Sebastian Fedori. Put in Israel Majumov in there. I mean, put all these guys in the mix. This really looks good at 154. But they got to fight each other. I mean, 135 looked great too, didn't it? I mean, Javonte Davis, who was arrested a fortnight ago for domestic violence, not the first time, probably not the last time, but the bottom line is, looks like his fight with Lamont Roach, which was scheduled for August, is off. Anyway, Javonte Davis, supposedly the king at 135. Shakur Stevens, supposedly the king at 135. Of course, Shakur fighting last week and winning a 12-round decision over William Zepeda. William Zepeda being the palest Mexican I've ever seen in my life. Did that guy ever see his son? But the bottom line is he lost like almost 12 rounds. And you know, Shakur is Shakur. Of course, Eddie Croft told me he was the best of the best. Of course, then you got Ryan Garcia, of course, and Devin Haney and guys like that. Of course, Devin Haney, one of my favorite fighters. You guys know that. I wish that Devin Haney, next time you see Devin Haney, run into him with a armored truck. Why do I say that? Because he's ripped off everybody in boxing. He stole like a, he has been a thief per se. He just has. I mean, the couple of fights where he grabbed guys around the waist and it with both hands, didn't even try to fight. You know, he knew exactly what he was doing because he was hurt. He doesn't take a punch all that well. So I'm trying to tell you is, I think Devin Haney's toast. I really do. I think once he get in the ring with a good fighter, I think it'll be over with once they clip him on that chin. Speaking of clipping on that chin, Ryan Garcia, I haven't seen him, of course, of late. Would like to see Ryan Garcia in the ring again. Why? Because he always brings a good audience and he's exciting. I mean, call it what you want. There's always drama involved with Ryan Garcia. It just is. Pound for pound, one of the better fighters in the world, I think. Maybe top 20, not top 10, but one of the top 20 pound for pound fighters in the world. And of course, when he lost to Javonte Davis, I was a bit stunned there. But Davis stopped him. Of course, he came in there with a bad body shot or a bad rib or something like that. Davis hit it once in the body, and it was all over. Pound for pound, at 154, I got to go back to my man, Bakram Mazalov. Now, after the break, I'm going to bring in a man by the name of Dennis Rappaport. I call him Mr. Rapp. Back in the days, he and I were not adversaries per se, but he had Jerry Cooney. I was a reporter, okay? I was a reporter. I was asking all these pertinent questions, nosy questions, you know, the Great White Hope questions, all that kind of good stuff. And then I was working, trying to defend my Golden Glove Championship out here in California, and they brought Jerry Cooney out here in 1986 to fight Eddie George or Eddie something like that at the Cow Palace. Anyway, so Cooney's training at Newman's Gym, and they shut down training for all of us. We couldn't train at Newman's Gym because Jerry Cooney was training, and that pissed me off. So I told Rappaport just like it was. They threw me out of the gym. They did. Don Stewart threw me. I had to go training over. But yeah, me and my big mouth. Bottom line was, I knew I was right. Straight up, Dennis Rappaport after the break on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
All right, Takis fans, Wendy's knows you love your Takis Fuego chips. So we thought, why not make a Takis Fuego meal with a Takis Fuego chicken sandwich with spicy chicken topped with crushed Takis Fuego chips and creamy corn spread. Plus, it comes with Fuego fries inspired by Takis and a bag of Takis Fuego chips. If we add any more heat, we might start an actual... I told him this would happen. For an intense new take on Takis chips, gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their
their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the Legal Helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, tools, home essentials, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Connie Francis, may she rest in peace. I mean, she was a wonderful lady. She died at the age of 87. At one point in time, she was the world's biggest selling female artist. She sold more records than any other chick straight up. She has died at the age of 87. Of course, the man on the line, Mr. Rapp, one of the Wacko twins, we're talking about Dennis Rapport, knew her intimately. Dennis, how's life treating you?
Complain too much, Pedro. It's nice being with you.
Always a pleasure, sir. Always a pleasure. When I call you the Wacko Twins, people say, oh, what's he calling them? Of course, the Wacko Twins. Who named you the Wacko Twins?
Well, it was Bruce Trampler. Okay. And we were supposed to close a contract, and he was afraid to sign it without Teddy Brenner. So I said, make it subject to the attorney's approval. And he said, between you and the wacky things you do for publicity, you and your partner are the Wacko Twins.
Okay. Connie.
So that's how it began.
Okay. Let's talk about Connie Francis. You knew her. I saw her here in San Francisco in the late 1990s. She appeared at the famed Castro Theater in San Francisco. It was sold out. I mean, we had a memorable evening. I took a girl there one night. Get this. I took this girl there that night, and she was homophobic, and we're in a gay area, and there was two lesbians sitting next to us, and the girl that I took was feeling squeamish. She kept moving around the entire time. It was like it was a mess. She ruined the night.
Unreal.
But Connie was fantastic. She went through all the hits. She talked, she talked about her career. She talked about her ups and downs. Life wasn't a bowl of cherries for her always, was it?
Pedro, she had a life where she had magical triumphs and a heartbreaking agony between her being raped near the Westbury Music Theater.
Yeah.
Her brother being killed gangland style, having an operation on her nose where they made a mistake and she couldn't sing for a while in an air-conditioned place. She went through trauma that's almost unimaginable. And yet, she just had a song that just went viral.
Yeah.
Pretty Little Baby.
On TikTok.
After all these years.
It went viral on TikTok. It went off the charts. So she was making money those things make money.
It's unbelievable. And she it was a side B of a record that she had made many years before. In fact, she didn't even recall making it.
Is a pretty little baby?
Pretty little baby.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember, you know, my father turned me on to all of this music when I was growing up. I mean, he played records and we went to record stores. We bought 45s, we bought LPs or records or albums, whatever you want to call them back in the day. But the bottom line is, he educated me. And he, you know, he turned me on to Connie France, he turned me on to even Doris Day to an extent. I mean, a lot of different people. Without my old man, I would have been in a closet musically.
You know, I'll tell you something. You had mentioned it earlier. You know, for many years, she was the number one worldwide female singer. And she had a great ear for language. And she sang in 11 or 12 different languages, okay, which it contributed to the tremendous success she had worldwide.
Well, Dennis, she was the first woman to top the Billboard Hot 100 charts with Everybody's Somebody's Fool back in 1960. The first woman, first.
She was a pioneer in many areas, and it's funny. There isn't an Italian guy when she sings "Mama" has a dry air eye, you know. And then she sang in Yiddish, "My Yiddish Mama," and then in so many languages, Spanish and German, and French. And, I mean, there were 11 languages that she just had a great ear. And she made so many tremendous hits. And what people forget, when youngsters would go on spring break, she almost solely started that tradition of them going to Fort Lauderdale with the song "Where the Boys Are" and the movie "Where the Boys Are."
Yep, exactly. You know, and she was a child star who won Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts at the age of 12. I didn't know that. Bottom line is a top-selling female vocalist. It must be something, though, to be the first chick to hit a number one record, to be the queen, per se, because it was a man's world. Music is a man's world, per se.
I absolutely. As I had said before to you, that she was a pioneer in so many areas, and her voice touched the hearts of so many people. And even in the twilight of her career, when she would appear, audience, the loyalty that they had towards her was just fantastic.
No, we were in awe. That's the word to use. The audience sat there in awe when she was at the Castro Theater. We were in awe.
Yeah, she and you know, she was a very sincere, down to earth person, and she loved her audience. Okay, she didn't take him for granted. She never was condescending towards them. It was like she embraced them. And they were like family members.
Okay. Speaking of family members, when's the last time you talked to Jerry Cooney?
I haven't spoken to Jerry in quite some time. We had a bit of a falling out. But
that's pretty sad because you made him a multi. I know he did the fighting, but I'm going to tell you, you and Mike Jones were the two best managers. I mean, when it came to making money, you guys made your guys money.
It really is sad, and particularly how close we were for so many years. It's just really unfortunate.
Would Jerry Cooney have gone further had he not been drinking?
Oh, if the Cooney that beat Young and knocked out Norton, if he wasn't I'm going to try to use a euphemism, but
thirsty.
Let me just say it the way it is.
If he wasn't
abusing drugs after the Norton fight, and the Hollywood crowd didn't come around, and the drinking and the nose candy, he might have been literally unbeatable. He would be sending 4 or 5 guys a week to the hospital. But then it started happening before the Holmes fight when he tore his up. Left rotator cuff in his shoulder, and then after that, before the Sphinx fight, it was just unmanageable.
Dennis, what people don't realize is that alcohol is undefeated. Nobody beats booze.
Nobody beats it.
Nobody. I mean, I've got a friend of mine that's in rehab right now in Arizona. I don't know if he's listening or not, but the bottom line, he's been down there for like 7 weeks and come home in a couple of weeks. If he doesn't come home knowing that he can't drink ever again, it was for naught. I mean, it was a waste of time.
So so true. That's what I said. You know, you got to take it a day at a time and go to meetings and really commit yourself, because drugs and alcohol are addictive, and it ruins lives that were creating wretchedness, havoc, and misery to both families and to the individual themselves. And by the way, yesterday was probably the greatest marathon in boxing that I ever remember, from morning to evening.
Okay, Oleg Usyk, of course, prevailed against Daniel Dubois again. Does Usyk deserve to be called a great fighter, considering he's like a 200-pound guy? What's up?
I got to tell you something. I have become so impressed with his boxing IQ, which is off the charts, both offensively and defensively, his ability to adapt. I think that he's among the elites.
Okay.
Forget about being a generation fighter. He's I see him beating some of the top fighters in most eras.
Okay.
He's something that's very special. And he also could punch, which is surprising. Remember, he was a unified cruiserweight champion.
Yeah.
He's a unified heavyweight champion. And the guys that were considered today to be up there, he beat him twice.
Okay.
Like Fury, for example, Joshua. And all he does is improve in the rematches.
Okay.
And then last night, it was something out of a Hollywood movie. Pacquiao at 46 coming back after 4 years. As I was watching it, and frankly, I was very reluctant. I just thought he would really get hurt. And I couldn't help but think of the Frank Sinatra lyrics to Young and Hard, that fairy tales can come true. It could happen to you if you're young and hard.
Okay.
I thought it was such an extraordinary thing that he was able to. They called it a draw sentimentally. I thought he won the fight, and so did most people.
Yeah,
that
I think
saw
so
it.
Too. I think so too.
But I was surprised that the judges, just the fact that he went 12 rounds and it was such a close fight, who would have ever envisioned that at 46 years old, I thought he was going to get hurt, and I was like almost reluctant to watch it.
Yeah, but the other guy couldn't fight a lick, Dennis. He couldn't spell fight if you laid letters out on a piece of paper for him. Barrios was incompetent. He didn't try. He looked like he fought handcuffed. And as far as hugging guys after round, I wouldn't hug a guy. I wouldn't hug a guy after a fight.
I agree with you. I think what happened with him is a couple of things. First of all, I kept waiting for him to continue to use the jab and to start throwing the right hand. And some of the punches that Pacquiao threw that may have looked like pitter-patter punches must have had an effect on him, because either he was awed by the evening or he got a little intimidated, but he wasn't getting off. And a 46-year-old man, which is equivalent to a 90-year-old guy on the outside, was actually beating him to the punch, and he wasn't just getting off. It was bizarre.
Yeah, I think my buddy Blinky Palermo might have looked at that fight a little bit differently last night, because you got a guy that's 30 years old and he's not throwing punches.
Yeah, it was it was strange, and then. Effectively, he could have used that jab so much more, and I kept waiting for him to throw the right hand, and frankly, I thought that he could hurt Pacquiao.
Dennis, he was 6 foot...
He became very tentative. It's almost like he became intimidated and somewhat paralyzed.
Dennis, he's 6 foot tall, and he was crouching. Here's what's up. Pac-Man turned pro at 107 pounds. He's a little guy. So if you're
a little guy.
You know, if you're 6 foot tall, you should be able to kick his ass from a distance like Fedora.
Should have been able to do it with the jab alone. Because let's face it, Pacquiao's reflexes, don't misunderstand, the performance for him was extraordinary given his age.
Yep.
But his reflexes are not what his reflexes were. Okay. And, things diminish. At 46, you're not going to be able to do what you did when you were 26.
Unfortunately, it's
still sort of a magical experience, just watching him go 12 rounds.
Yeah, that was magical. Yep. Listen,
it's 4 years of inactivity.
Every time I talk to you, I have a good time. It's always a good time when you and I talk, except for that time when you held up the gym there in San Francisco. I had to go to Oakland to train. I told you that story, right?
No.
Jerry Cooney ruled. Jerry Cooney took over things. Yeah, I guess you're not talking to Jerry, but if you do, tell him Pedro said hi.
Really?
Yeah. He's a good Jerry and I are cool. Jerry and I are cool over the years. We had a good time.
Jerry's very likable, and he's a he really is very down to earth with people and his fans. He's a guy that literally, if there were 100 people and they all asked for his autograph, each one would leave saying, "Gee, you know, he's a good friend of mine."
Yeah, you know what? I will leave you with this. He and I were the only two people in boxing that traveled to Rockport, Illinois, to support Gerald McCullough and Greg Page when they were hurt. So I got to give him some props. Mr. Rappaport, you have a great weekend. I thank you so much for your time. Man, you're just a great
guest.
You too.
It's a pleasure, Pedro. Always nice being with you.
Dennis Rappaport of Wacko fame train. Wacko Twins fame. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk.
Just like a friend.
All right, Takis fans, Wendy's knows you love your Takis Fuego chips. So we thought, why not make a Takis Fuego meal with a Takis Fuego chicken sandwich with spicy chicken topped with crushed Takis Fuego chips and creamy corn spread. Plus, it comes with Fuego fries inspired by Takis and a bag of Takis Fuego chips. If we add any more heat, we might start an actual... I told him this would happen. For an intense new take on Takis chips, gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer, and we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case, and they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, tools, home essentials, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9.
Once again, happy birthday, Alan Gorey, 79 years old. founding member of the Godfather of the Average White Band, formerly AWB. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Dana White, give him props. Last night he went to New Orleans. He drew 18,000 people, an $8 million gate. An $8 million gate. In the main event, Max Holloway defeated Dustin Poirier. I think they fought like three or four times now. Of course, that was at lightweight, 155. Max being the former champion at 145. They call this now some bad MF champion. You know, Dana White's crazy. Anyway, Paulo Costa won the co-main event over Roman Kobolev. That went to distance. All the fights went to distance in the pay-per-view card. Daniel Rodriguez beat Kevin Holland. Patricio Pitbull beat Dan Ige. And Michael Jensen beat Daniel Zell Huber. Of course, the UFC is coming back with the UFC on ABC television. That's the 26th. I kid you not, they're going to rock and roll, of course, on ABC television from Dubai. And, you know, Dubai is a piece of work. I wanted to use the word spit with an H, but the bottom line is a piece of work. Anyway, in the main event, Robert Whitaker going to take on Rainer de Ritter, and the co-feature, Peter Yan, going to take on Marcus McKee. No chicks on that card. I'm surprised. No chicks on the card. And take that back. There are chicks on the card. Amanda Ribas is going to take on Tabatha Ricci. It'll be on ESPN+. The entire card will be on ESPN+. And ESPN, of course, coming to you in Dubai. That's the 26th. And, of course, Dana White brings you that card. But 18,000 people last night, $8 million gate. He's doing something right. I don't like his sport. I think I don't like him. I don't like much what he stands for. You know, he's just a piece of work. But the bottom line is the guy knows what he's doing as far as promoting the Ultimate Fighting Championship is concerned. An $8 million gate. When's the last time boxing had an $8 million gate? I'm willing to bet that gate we had yesterday with Sebastian Vidor, those guys, and Manny Pacquiao in Las Vegas didn't come anywhere near $8 million. Straight up, this is another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The executive producer of the Sunday show is the impeccable one, Mr. Bailey Peck. I thank him so much for his participation and his professionalism. Straight up, this has been another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. We are a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.